This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to this episode of Kennedy Saves the World, the biggest event to hit the world since 2017 is almost upon us. The solar eclipse is Monday, April 8th, and we have to know exactly what that means and how much danger we're in, and if Earth is going to explode in a massive, rapturous fireball. There's only one person to talk to. He's a visiting professor in physics and astronomy at Barnard College. He's also a NASA advisor and author of Rescuing Science, Restoring Trust in an Age of Doubt. Paul Sutter, welcome to Kennedy Saves the World.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Let's save the world.
Let's do it. So this is very exciting. I love eclipses. I remember one when I was a kid. I was probably like 7, maybe 8 years old. And it was a total eclipse. And I remember it was used as a marketing tool in commercials. And car companies were like, it's a total eclipse of savings. Come to your Datsun dealership now. So how significant is this in terms of eclipses we have seen in our lifetime?
Oh, this is going to be fantastic. I know a lot of people have seen partial eclipses or lunar eclipses, which are cool and beautiful in their own way. But there is nothing like totality when the moon completely 100% blocks the surface of the sun. I urge anyone who is even thinking about making travel plans to see totality, to be on that thin line that cuts across the United States, to do it, because I guarantee there is nothing like this you have ever seen or experienced in your entire life.
And what are some of the spots that people could get to witness totality? Like in New York City, we're here in New York City. What is it going to be like for us? Let's start there.
Right. So New York City, we are off the line of totality. We are somewhere, I believe, 85 to 90% coverage, which is pretty cool. The sky will visibly darken in the afternoon on Monday, but it won't be totality. It won't be that special thing. If you want to see totality, if you're in the Northeast, then you have to head even more Northeast. You have to go to upstate New York. You have to go to Buffalo. You have to go to Burlington, Vermont, or upper New Hampshire, even Maine, in order to capture it. All of that is within about a 6-hour driving distance of Manhattan. If you're in the Midwest, then you want to head to Cleveland, Indianapolis, Carbondale, Illinois, this tiny little town that was actually on the path of totality back in 2017. They did it again.
Ooh, how'd they do that? That's
magical.
Lottery tickets. That's pretty great.
Sheer cosmic coincidence. There are some people who bought houses specifically so that they could simply walk out in their backyard and see two total solar eclipses in a row.
What is the most significant solar eclipse that has been experienced in your estimation, particularly as a physicist?
As a physicist, the most important one to me was one that passed over London in 1715. And this was significant because this was the first time we were able to accurately predict down to the minute the oncoming of the total solar eclipse. The scientist who did this was Sir Edmund Halley of Halley's Comet fame, using the newly invented gravitational force of Isaac Newton. He was the first person in human history to accurately predict an eclipse, and it's been game on ever since.
So what about the Egyptians and Ptolemy and the ancient Greeks? Because they were all very accurate astronomers. How did they do with eclipse predictions?
Oh, absolutely. Ancient cultures from around the world kept track and noted eclipses. We have records stretching back literally thousands of years since the dawn of recorded human history in ancient China, ancient Mesopotamia, ancient Greece, in Egypt, like you mentioned, the Mayans were excellent stargazers. They noted eclipses and they could make rough guesses of when a total solar eclipse would come again. But it was just that, it was guesses. Without a theory of gravity, they really couldn't make accurate predictions.
Now, speaking of another theory, general relativity was seen as being very theoretical until a solar eclipse in 1919. Do you know that story?
Absolutely. So general relativity, this is Einstein's update to the theory of gravity. It's a more sophisticated view of how gravity works. In general relativity, Einstein predicted that the mass of our sun would deflect light from passing stars. You can imagine light from a star right on the edge of the sun. That light is coming right by the edge of the sun. Its path will get bent by the gravity of our sun. And Sir Arthur Eddington, a very famous astronomer, sent out an expedition and measured exactly that. It cemented general relativity as a valid theory of nature and really propelled Einstein to his stardom.
All right, we got more of this interview after this.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
See how useful an eclipse can be? So what do you expect that we will learn? How will it bolster our understanding of science this go around, and what advancements could we possibly make with this totality that is just days away from us?
So when it comes to pure astronomy, astronomers are actually capable of making eclipses on their own. We use a special device called a coronagraph, which is a tiny little disc mounted in front of a telescope that acts like a little mini moon and blocks the light of the sun so we can study it. But there's a lot of geophysics and biology and ecology that we can learn from the eclipse. If you're on that path of totality, the middle of the day will turn to night. The stars will come out.
Wow.
The air will cool. It is beautiful. Like I said, it is unlike anything you have ever experienced. And we can actually study circadian rhythms in animals. We can study the meteorology, how air masses are affected by this sudden decrease in temperature. We can get a lot of valuable data about how these natural processes occur when they're thrown out of rhythm.
So how should you look at the eclipse?
Step one, don't look directly in the sun. It will literally melt your eyes. The infrared heat from the sun will melt your retina, which is generally bad. So anytime during the eclipse, you need to be wearing safety glasses. You need to be wearing special solar eclipse glasses. Sunglasses will not cut it. 10 sunglasses stacked in a row will not cut it. You need eclipse glasses. During totality, when it is 100%, if you're on that thin line cutting across the United States, it is safe to take off the glasses and view the sun. It will look like the moon is on fire. It will look like it is engulfed by the corona of the sun. You'll see stars. You may see some planets in the sky. You will hear the birds chirping, insects doing their thing. It will feel like the end of the world. And then a couple minutes later, everything's back to normal.
So some of these large telescopes, like the extremely large telescope and the 30-meter telescope and the giant
names.
Magellan telescope and the Keck telescopes, will any of those be in the path of totality? And how will it affect their data gathering, and how stoked will they be if they are affected?
So these kinds of instruments, none of them are on the path of totality this year for this path. And so, but there are a lot of astronomers. You know what? I'm a professional astronomer. I'm also a nerd. I'm going to geek out about this. I'm going to be in Indianapolis watching it. And it's just a delight. This is not necessarily a time for serious hardcore data collection. This is a time for connecting with the wider universe and just simply experiencing this ephemeral beauty that the cosmos has to offer us.
Oh, I love that that's how you're viewing it. That's absolutely beautiful. So if the skies are cloudy in Indianapolis or in Burlington or some of the other places that you mentioned, what will people still have the same effect? Will they be able to see the moon, or will they just experience temporary darkness?
Yeah, unfortunately, if it is cloudy skies, I've been clouded out by eclipses, so I know this heartbreak personally. You will experience the darkening of the sky. You will feel the temperature drop. You will hear birds and insects start to come out. And it will feel very spooky and very eerie, but you don't get that special magic.
And how long will it last?
Totality lasts up to 3 minutes, depending on where you are. The entire eclipse event, from the time the moon first touches one edge of the sun to the time it leaves the other end, is a few hours, depending on where you live. The path of totality that crosses through the United States, it starts in southern Texas, exits out through Maine, and it will zip across, that shadow will zip across the United States at about 1,500 miles per hour. So it will be all over and done with in a matter of hours.
Interesting. So I did read that the last time in 2017 in the United States, that the path of totality ran over several cities with, and I'm going to get the name wrong, it's not Shiloh, Salem in the title. And then this time around, there are going to be the same number of cities with Nineveh as their name. And they intersect at a town called Rapture. Are people who subscribe to biblical prophecy freaking out, and should they have their fears calmed? This is your opportunity to soothe some worries.
If you are worried about an eclipse, then you need to remember what Jesus actually said, which is you will not know the day of the time. And if you believe that someone can predict the day and time of a biblical event like that, they are going against the word of Jesus himself. So take it up with Jesus.
Oh, Paul
with the astronomers.
Dropping the knowledge in so many realms. I like it. I'm very much looking forward to it, even more so now. I love the historical perspective that you have offered here. So many incredible stories, and people can make their own brand of magic in history on
Absolutely.
Monday. Thank you so much, sir.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Enjoy the eclipse.
I certainly will, along with all of you. This has been Kennedy Saves the World. I'm Kennedy.
For more podcasts from my friends at Fox, you can go to foxnewspodcast.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app. Oh, go ahead and leave me a review while you're there. I'd love to hear what you have to say. You've been listening to Kennedy Saves the World on the Fox News Podcast Network.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.